are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. A countdown to kickoff really is officially on right now. A little more than 24 hours away to the start of the National Football League regular season. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence will join us. The best in the business. Love the newsletter. It makes you a hell of a lot smarter than you were before you read the Playbook newsletter. We've been talking college football all summer long with Mark, and we'll talk a little, just a little smidge of college with Mark today, but you know, I'm in an NFL mood today. We want to talk NFL football with Mark Lawrence. So we're talking NFL football with Mark Lawrence. We're all about NFL football on the program today. Dane Martinez, the speed statistician, going to step up and in. Fantasy Sports Television Network, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane does a great job. Dane Martinez, he's going to give us his plays in a week. He's looking to walk the dogs this week in the National Football League. It's time to start throwing the darts right now. Yet, Paul Bovey had an interesting comment yesterday, and he said, it almost feels like it's really like week five of the preseason. There's so much uncertainty coming into week one this year. Jim Sannis is going to step up and join us, talking some fantasy football. And Jim's a great fantasy analyst, and he might be a little bit weary because I'm not a great fantasy analyst, and I like all the same players as he does. And are we insane that we're starting to buy into the Jared Goff hype coming into this week? You know, I'm feeling the Rams, but I don't know if I'm feeling Jared Goff from a fantasy perspective. That's pretty ballsy right there. So yeah, we've got a great show lined up for you. So let's get right down to business. In the immortal words of Krusty the Clown, there will be no monologue tonight because my feet hurt. No, I'm just kidding. No monologue, no intro today. Saw the comments from yesterday's video. Holy crap. You got to have thick skin in this industry. You know, you guys really, really hurt my feelings, man. You really hurt my feelings. Actually, no, you didn't hurt my feelings. And I don't know, what's the phrase I'm looking for? You can all blow me. I guess that's a good phrase. that's the one I was looking for. You know, though, it's funny, though. I can understand, like, hate. You know, when I talk about Kaepernick or politics and stuff like that, I just gave a simple pick. I just said, hey, I think San Francisco's going to win. This guy sucks. Fire him. Hate him. Terrible. No, you're terrible. Not me, you. Yeah. That's why I'm on this side of the camera and you're sitting at home at 2 a.m. talking about me. But that's besides the point. So listen, we're so into deep into football right now. It's been football, football, football. I told you last week, you know, scientists say, the studies say that men think about sex every 7 seconds. Not at this time of the year, they don't. I'm thinking about football like every second of every day right now. But I know the Arizona Diamondbacks keep winning every night. I know the Cleveland Indians keep covering on the run line every night. I know our baseball picks were pretty strong last night. And I know that pretty much every team from Boston just repeatedly likes to cheat for one reason or another. I was doing a podcast in the late night hours last night, actually. And we were talking. We were like, man, well, what is it about Boston and these teams? Somebody said, well, Boston College doesn't cheat. No, they do, too. They've been busted a couple of times for fixing games. Yeah, the movie Goodfellas, Henry Hill, I've had this guy on my show before. He used to fix Boston College basketball games in the 70s at the Garden. And then they got busted again a couple of years ago, about 10, 15 years ago. I swear to God, I was betting on a game that actually won because it was fixed. So I didn't mind. But nevertheless, for shame, what a shock. We picked on Boston earlier in the year, and we backed off, actually. And people in Boston really hate me. So I guess I'm going to get, you know, more thumbs down. But, you know, I'm not ripping the city of Boston here. Listen, everybody steals sides in baseball. It is what it is. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But to use a freaking Apple Watch to step it into the new millennium like this, is that over the top? I don't really even know if it's over the top. You know, like the Red Sox say, you know what, the Yankees are, you know, and the Red Sox are guilty. It's not alleged. They're caught, all right? They're nailed. They're caught. It is what it is. But the Red Sox are saying the Yankees cheat by using the Yes television cameras to steal signals, and then they radio them in. Girardi's all offended by that. Oh, God, I'm insulted by that. Either way, it makes the rivalry a little bit better right now. Now, as somebody that has an Apple MacBook Pro and a mini iPad, you know, I'm just shocked, actually, that the Red Sox were able to pull this off, that the Apple computer and the watch actually worked. That's the biggest thing, like, to me in this story. I'm not going to rip the Red Sox for cheating, whatever. It's baseball. It is what it is. But that's the most shocking thing to me, that the Apple device and the Apple Watch actually worked. And secondly, I didn't know anybody even owned a freaking Apple Watch. Didn't that thing tank like the new Coca did? So, you know, I thought I was going to stand here and call Boston a bunch of cheaters and lowlifes and scumbags. But watching the Red Sox and the Yankees argue, it's like watching two rich dudes argue over a hot chick. All right, we're not getting her. One of these two dudes are. They're both kind of, it's like Floyd and Connor. They're both kind of obnoxious. But when push comes to shove, I am on Team New York. All right, the Red Sox are cheaters. Teams from Boston do cheat, but so does everybody else. Boston just seems to get caught a hell of a lot more than everybody else does. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenz. We've got a great show lined up for you. Football, and more football. We got Mark Lawrence. We've got Jim Sonnis. We've got Dane Martinez. We like to mix it up. We're trying to get some fresh blood on the program and also try to get some of our Fantasy Network cohorts on. You know, get different opinions, different picks and stuff like that. I'm a big Dane fan. He's on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, 7 o'clock. We come on, me and Cam come on Red Heat and Rage Radio at 8 o'clock, and you got the live lineup lock with Dane and Sincata on the Dish Network as well. So let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now, who's actually in the eye of the hurricane. So we hope Mark is all right, and we'll see what Mark's plan is. It's Hurricane Irma on its way. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, joins us. How you doing, Mark?
Well, we're battening down the hatches right now, Gabe, as we're speaking. So hopefully I'll have better news for you when we talk next week.
Yeah, you know, well, we had some problems with Skype, and I'm thinking, no kidding. He's in the middle of a hurricane. I'm like, so are you gonna stay and wait it out? You're in the Fort Lauderdale area, right?
We're in Fort Lauderdale, and this storm is three times larger than the state of Florida. So there's really nowhere to go other than to fly out of here, and you can't get a flight out of Florida. So I'll be hunkering down with everybody down here and hoping that this field goal pulls a Scott Norwood and goes wide right.
Yeah, I'll be praying for you guys. It's devastating. I didn't realize that. Three times the state. I saw the NASA space shots of this thing. Never seen anything like it before. 185-mile-an-hour juggernaut coming right at us.
It is. That's why they call Miami the Hurricanes down here. We haven't had one in 12 years, Gabe, so we've been really, really fortunate. But, you know, there's global warming, the warm waters here right now, the El Nino, everything, whatever that prescription is making for a mean-looking hurricane coming our way here this weekend.
Yeah, people can debate climate change all they want. I just tell people, whatever side of the fence you're on, there's no arguing. God is angry. That's the way I look at this. I see it coming. I'm like, yep. God's sending somebody a message right now about something. But nevertheless. All right, Mark, we talked so much college football over the summer. We hit every conference. And I know you've been doing great so far. It's funny because I keep thinking we'd play 2 weeks of college football, but it's really one. Like, they're calling last week, week one. You know, I guess that early Saturday didn't really count as a week. So I find that interesting. But I'm dying to talk some NFL football, and I went through the playbook. Great stuff. Job well done again. Week one, Mark.
Well, thanks, Gabe. You know, that college football early week stuff, they're calling it week zero to keep everything in line. So week zero, week one, now it's week one of NFL as well.
So that's what they called it, week zero, huh?
Yes, like Coke Zero, exactly.
Wow. Man, I've been around a while, Mark. These new conferences, week zeros now. I remember in the old days, nobody even wore the number zero.
No, exactly right. That was a
week zero.
I can't remember the last person that wore a zero for a uniform number in football.
All right, so let's jump in here. We're a little more than 24 hours away. We got the Chiefs and the Patriots. Public are loving the Patriots here. Line feels a little bit high to me. Yet, I don't like getting in front of Belichick. And I don't like getting in front of the Super Bowl winner. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Belichick hasn't been great, 4-5 against the spread in these season openers. Andy Reid, 11-3 against the spread when getting 8 or more points in his coaching career. And Kansas City have the type of style, and they play, you know, a stingy defense that should be able to eat up some clock and hang around in this football game.
I think they should, too. You know, you look at Reed's M.O., what he's done in his career. You give him a healthy amount of points, 8 or more. He's 12-3 to the spread the 15 times he's gotten 8 or more points. And as you mentioned here, it's the Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots, with that bullseye on their back. The whole world's going to want to line up a guy, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots on Thursday night. But I think Kansas City is going to come and play them a lot closer than Vegas thinks.
It's just so scary. It's just so scary. You know, I was telling people I thought it was on the wrong side of 7 when it was listed at 8. And now it's up to 9. I don't know. We'll see if the public bets it up more. But if it gets up to 10, I don't have a choice. And to be honest with you, I don't like messing with the Patriots in spots like this, you know, the home opener and stuff. But I am pretty comfortable, you know, taking the Chiefs on a teaser plus 16 and then putting another game on Sunday in my back pocket going into Sunday.
It looks like a really promising play, the Chiefs plus 16. You look at Andy Reid, the month of September, he's played 26 games. He's only lost 3 of them by more than 7 points. So he very rarely gets blown out early in the football season. Chiefs plus 16 would be a nice part to start a teaser for the weekend in the NFL.
How about that Howard win against UNLV? Holy crap, poor Tony Sanchez. But I got a correlation here, and I brought this up yesterday, actually. You know, people are calling it the biggest upset ever, and technically it was because it was a 43-point favorite that lost the game outright. But, you know, UNLV shouldn't be favored by 43 against Bishop Gorman, let alone any college football team. And I wonder about the Buffalo Bills. So Tyrod Taylor's been cleared to play. The point spread's up to 9.5. It's just insanity to me, and I get it. The Jets are supposed to be bad, and I think they will be bad. But it's crazy to me that the Buffalo Bills are actually the biggest favorite on the board in week one right now.
That's strange to hear. Buffalo, the largest favorite. Unbelievable.
And it's not like they had a great camp or anything.
No, they didn't have a great camp. And in fact, they're rebuilding like the Jets are rebuilding right now. You know, they've evacuating players as well as the Jets did in the off season. I think this number's ludicrous. And, you know, sometimes the Jets being as bad as they are, nobody's going to want this football team. And I'll tell you this, they were the worst team in net turnover differential last year, and those teams are great road dogs the following season. I got to grab up the Jets plus the points in this contest.
Jets 7-1 against the spread last 8 season openers somehow. But here's an ugly one. We'll play devil's advocate. Josh McCown, 2-20, last 22 games as a starting quarterback. And you can argue, people say, well, he was on bad teams. Yeah, this team's worse than the teams he were on before.
And he doesn't have to win this game either. That's the whole key here, Gabe.
He could
lose this game by a touchdown and still bring home the cabbage. So I think the line makes the play more times often than not, and I think it fits the Jets exactly that way in this matchup.
You know, a good friend of yours and mine, Dave Malinsky, you know, Dave's never been on email, never been on Twitter before. He's on Twitter all the time now, Mark. Dave Malinsky's sending me emails for like 6 a.m. Vegas time. He's like, you know, Gabe, hey, I'm taking Carolina. He sent me an article about Carolina in a survivor pool. And I told him, I'm thinking about taking the Bills in a survivor pool. And he's like, you're crazy, man. You know, that's crazy talk. But I think the Bills are going to win this game outright. I just don't want to lay 9.5 points.
Well, the difference in the survivor pool in that assessment is in taking the Bills, you're taking a bad team. And taking Carolina, you're taking what will be a good team this year. So if you're talking survivor pool straight-up wins, I'd opt for the team that likely be the winning team.
All right, so let's talk about the Jags and the Texans. And, you know, it's one of these deals. I got a good memory with this stuff, Mark, and I remember the database from past years. And I've always known, you look at the Houston Texans, and what's the knock on the Texans? You know, they're kind of mediocre, 9-7 every year, 3 years in a row, 9-7 record. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is, they're always 9-7. And they always lose those big games. You know, in the regular season, they'll go on a Monday Night Football to New England. They'll get tattooed. O'Brien plays it safe. But what does that mean? It means they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. And Bill O'Brien has made millions of dollars being a coach in the NFL and staying a coach in the NFL, Mark, by taking advantage and beating the teams that he's supposed to beat, including the Jacksonville Jaguars And, you know, that's why he actually he owns the Jags.
Well, he does, and he beats these teams he's supposed to beat, which makes his record as a favorite the best in the National Football League. 21 times favorite. He's won 19 of those games on the scoreboard, 15-5-1 to the spread. He's also delicious, terrific in division games. He's won 10 of his last 11, only lost to the spread twice. I think this is the right spot here for Houston, especially for the situation being what it is after Hurricane Harvey.
You know, I liked it. I thought, you know, the line keeps climbing. It looks like the public's starting to buy in right now. It might be anti-Blake Bortles money coming in with the public, because now Johnny Public is going to start betting these games right now. And you know, so you're right. So there's going to be a lot of Hurricane Harvey tributes. And let's give a tribute to J.J. Watt and the incredible amount of money that he raised. I just hope the money goes to the right place and it just doesn't get lost in a bureaucratic world. You know, going back, I don't know, is it quite as emotional or the same as that Hurricane Katrina stuff? Because the actual Superdome itself was part of the hurricane. But we remember how emotional that was, and the Saints freaking rolled, man. Nothing could go wrong for them in that football game. Could be a very similar situation with the Texans here.
I think it could be, too, as well, especially with J.J. Watt leading the fundraising here. I think that's the connection, the fact that it was J.J. Watt, their football player, that does all this and has done all this. And you've also got, in this football game here as well, you mentioned Blake Bortles. You're not beating much in the quarterback here. I mean, Bill Barnwell did a great article about quarterbacks that have thrown 1,000 passes or more. He ranks dead last in QBR quarterback rating by more than 4 points, Blake Bortles. Arguably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL as we're speaking today.
All right. Ravens and Bengals. To me, this game is flying under the radar. And I do a very popular segment here on the Fantasy Sports Network every Monday called Who Ruined Your Sunday? And it's basically a bad beat bitch fest. You know what I mean? Like, it's been done before, but, you know. So I just complain about my bad beats throughout the day. And we did a best of, and I swear, like, the entire show was me ripping Andy Dalton and the Bengals. And the thing is, people are like, man, you really hate Andy Dalton and the Bengals. I'm like, no, if I hated them, I wouldn't bet on them as much as I do. I just get frustrated because they let me down. But, you know, even last year, the Bengals had a down year. Nothing went well for them. Nothing went right for them. They were still 7-8-1. I think the Bengals are a better football team than people give them credit for. Marvin Lewis is a good coach. Andy Dalton is a good quarterback. They just can't get it done in the playoffs. Like Arizona last year, they had a bad year. The wheels just sort of fell off for them. But coming into this game, I like them. Flacco hasn't practiced much. He doesn't have much weapons to work with. And I don't know if people realize this, man, but, you know, the Bengals have won 5 straight games against the Ravens, 4-1 against the spread. Bengals 4-0 against the spread last 4 home openers versus division opponents. Bengals usually start the season strong, and they always beat the Ravens for some reason.
They do. It's a football team that they enjoy playing because they beat this team. And you're also talking about a Cincinnati team that's really good at home in September in division games. They've won 6 of their last 7, lost to spread only 1 time in those contests. I think the situation is perfect for Cincinnati here. They had that down, dismal season last year, a rare losing season, if you will. Baltimore, as you mentioned, Flacco hasn't played in preseason. I can't see him being fluid in this football game here. I think Cincinnati -3 is a great side. I think I get the number now as we're speaking, because this game will be more than 3 come Sunday.
What do you think, Camera 2? Drew, do you approve? Cincinnati Bengals, or am I going to be? Is it going to be the week 1? Am I going to be standing over there ripping Andy Dalton? I can't believe I took the Bengals. I like the Bengals. All right, and in the words of Axl Rose, welcome to the jungle, because that's where we're going. All right, we were talking about it's rare to have the Bills saying, oh, the Bills are the biggest favorite of the week. This week, since the old Jim Kelly days that I'm wearing a jersey of right now. But wow, even stranger to see the Rams, the LA Rams, listed as favorites at any time. And, it, you know, being listed as a favorite hasn't been kind to these guys or their backers over the years.
No, they're bad, especially in season opening games. 11 times they've been favored, they haven't beat the spread once.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Not a role they're accustomed to handling, and you wonder what makes them the favorite here. It's simple. No Andrew Luck for the Colts. The Colts were really rather weak in the preseason here, and as we know, our good friend Dave Malinsky does not like Scott Tolzien at all, the backup quarterback for the Colts. He started 3 games in the NFL. the next win will be his first, either straight up or against the spread. So situation being what it is, I can understand the Rams being favored. You just won't find me in line betting him this week as well.
Yeah, and Dave Malinsky ranks Scott Tolzien as potentially the worst backup quarterback ever. It's pretty well, strong words. I know he says worst backup in the league right now. I can live with that, but there's been some pretty bad backup quarterbacks with the Bills I can think off the top of my head.
Well, he Alex wasn't a good quarterback at Wisconsin either, by the way.
Yeah, it's true. You know, the Rams are a trendy team, though, coming into this week. A lot of the fantasy guys like them. They like the way Goff performed. One thing I'll tell you, Mark, and I did my own research on this one. I just wanted to compare the numbers in a preseason last year to this year with Goff. 45% of his passes completed last year in the preseason. This year, 75%. 24 or 32. And you think about it, Jeff Fisher's not going to make a young quarterback better. What the hell does Jeff Fisher know about being a quarterback? You know, McVay's a quarterback guy. You know, we're already seeing the improvement with Goff. He's got Watkins. He's got Woods. Gurley's got a chip on his shoulder. I think the Rams win this game, but I'm not in a hurry to lay 3.5. I wish, you know, maybe 2.5 I could live with.
Well, if those preseason numbers hold true this season, we'll probably not be talking about their poor record as a favorite in the second half of this football season, because I believe they will be an improved football team this year. It's just really, really difficult out of the gate laying points with the Rams.
All right, before we get you out of here, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of college games quickly here, Mark. But courtesy, we'll give you a little tidbit. We can't give everything away that's in the playbook. But Super Bowl losers, Mark, Super Bowl losers that open up on the road the following year like the Atlanta Falcons do, they're not in very good spots, are they?
No, they're terrible spots. It's only happened 17 times since 1985. Those Super Bowl losers on the road, game one, 2-15 straight up and against the spread. Could be a happy weekend for the Chicago Bears on Sunday.
And how about this little tidbit? You're always sharing so much with us, Mark. I got a good one for you. The Falcons went winless in the preseason. So did the Raiders. The last 16 teams to not win a game in a preseason are 4-12 against the spread in week one.
Yep, bad numbers for teams that can't win in the preseason. It means there's something not right with the team, obviously. And you still got this Super Bowl hangover here for the Falcons here. It's bad. It's hard making a case for the Bears, but there's only one side you could look in that football game. It has to be Chicago.
I think the Falcons win, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears get the cover. I like an ugly dog in the Niners this week.
Well, I can't blame you for that. San Francisco quietly put together a great off season this year. They brought a lot of good defensive help to the fray. But my problem is, I feel Carolina is going to be an improved football team. We talked about it at the IFBC conference,
yep.
And I know that they're just itching to get off in a good start here. I sided with Carolina in the newsletter largely because of that, but I'm with you. I think San Francisco is going to be an improved football team this season.
Yeah, everybody was taking the notes during your presentation. I didn't have to. I taken my notes up here in my brain. I remember you were talking about it. Last 14 times that a team lost the Super Bowl, didn't make the playoffs the following year. All 14 times it made the playoffs the following year, which would put Carolina into that spot. All right, Mark, rapid fire on the way. We got 2 minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes. Fresno State and Alabama. I didn't like Alabama's offense last week. They're obviously going to look better this week. But once again, I didn't need the database to tell me that Nick Saban doesn't care about these games. He bores easily, especially if he's friends with the other coach. He won't run up the score on them. He'll run up the score on another SEC team if he can, but he's not going to run the score up on one of these non-conference games. I looked it up. He doesn't have a relationship with Tedford. He says he respects him. He's a good offensive coach. But it's 43.5 points. And how about this, guys? Nick Saban, 1-9 against the spread the last 10 games as a favorite of 28 or more points versus a non-conference opponent. He bores easily.
He plays down to the level of the opposition. If it's not a big football game, Nick Saban really doesn't get his football team geeked up for it. That's the reason the poor performance in non-conference games. You have to like Jeff Tedford and his chances in this contest, plus 43 points.
Yeah, Saban, 1-10, last 10 as a favorite of 28 or more against non-conference opponents. Saban, 5-10 against the spread, last 15 home openers. And why would he just be 5-10 against spread in the home openers? Because they're generally playing poor teams in the home opener, and he doesn't care. And it's a great point, Mark. Saban knows you can't get the kids like on 10 every week. So he picks the spots. You know, he'll he'd rather they're sort of sloppy and then shoot him out all week and practice next week, right? Like
that's exactly what he'll do. He'll piss and complain about their poor play that they had the last game against this non-conference team, which he didn't get them up for. So it's all part of the psyche, the Nick Saban psyche, to get his football teams prepared for the games he wants to win.
Exactly. He's got, after this, they got Colorado State next week. He's not going to get his guys all fired up for this and then Colorado State next week. He'll get them more fired up, around Colorado State to get ready for SEC play after that. And quickly in closing, Oklahoma and Ohio State. Buckeyes went into Norman and bashed them last year. Now Oklahoma's got to go there. The public's all over the Buckeyes.
Well, they could be all over the Buckeyes. Do you remember what they saw the second half of the game? They didn't watch the UTEP-Oklahoma game, and Oklahoma destroyed UTEP in that game. Baker Mayfield only played two quarters, and he put up 419 yards of offense. I mean, this is an Oklahoma football team that is as talented every bit as Ohio State. They haven't lost a home non-conference game as badly as they did in over 30 years. And I'll say this in closing. The last 25 times Oklahoma's been on the road, they've won 22 of those games on the scoreboard. The 8 points looks awfully attractive to me with the Sooners.
And I got to tell you what, Ohio State's offense struggled a little bit in week one there. Mark Lawrence's playbook, every college football game, every NFL game, he's got information in his playbook. You want to win money, I can't, we can't click it for you, people. You can get it on your mobile device as well. Always a pleasure, Mark.
Hey, Gabe, enjoy the games. Be good this week. I'll catch you next week.
All right, so if you're planning on fading our picks or you want to win some money and take the plays that we just gave you, go over to mybookie.ag, place your bets. They've got in-game betting. In-game betting's wicked cool. Join MyBookie now. Get 100% deposit bonus. Use the promo code GTD. That's GTD at mybookie.ag. Even if we've all got accounts everywhere already, but you can never have too many accounts to go line shopping, and those deposit bonuses are pretty good at this time of the year. Go to mybookie.ag, promo code GTD. Get yourself 100% sign-up bonus. Game time decisions continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabe Morenci. Great stuff with Mark Lawrence. We gave you a bunch of picks, and I haven't locked in any NFL picks yet, but some great opinion and analysis from Mark Lawrence. We're just trying to give you both sides' perspective so you can make your own decisions. But let's talk some fantasy football right now. I'm a big fan of Jim Saunas from NumberFire. NumberFire is a great site. Host of the DFS Solo Shot podcast. Been too long since Jim been on the program. A couple of months. Jim Saunas, what's going on, Jim?
Gabe, it's week one, man. It's already here. I'm excited. How you doing?
Yeah, you're damn right. I'm fired up. Yeah, I got my Bills jersey on right now, and you're in Bills country right now, man. You're in Bills country. Welcome home.
I am, yeah. Over in Syracuse, I haven't been here too long. We just moved here about a month ago, so still getting acclimated. But hey, I mean, it feels more like the Midwest, which is where I'm from, so I can dig it for sure.
Yeah. Bills Nation in the Cuse and Rochester area, all over Western New York. But let's jump in here, talk some fantasy football, and let's start off with a couple of quarterbacks. I've been talking a lot about the quarterbacks coming into this week. I think Carson Wentz is some decent value with a low price, but you always get cold feet as game time approaches. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll spend a little bit more on Mariota or on Carr. But let's start off with Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, somebody you have your eye on. And I brought up a stat a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, Jim. Last year, the Detroit Lions secondary allowed opposing quarterbacks to complete 72% of their passes.
That's a record, I believe. I think it was the highest mark ever. And the good thing about Detroit, too, is not just their secondary, but also their pass rush is non-existent. That was something that really hurt Arizona last year, partially because they used three different starters at left tackle because both their top two guys, Jared Valdir and DJ Humphries, got hurt. Now they're both healthy, and they're facing a team that can't generate pass rush. The secondary still not there for Detroit. And you add in John Brown, J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, all who had some sort of injury at some point last year. And Carson Palmer starts to look pretty spicy. I know that he had a down year last year. It was his age 37 season. So I understand if you think that he's cooked and, you know, there's no upside anymore in Carson Palmer. But to me, when you give him these weapons back, both on the offensive line and at wide receiver, it kind of says, hey, this offense is going to rebound in a big way this year, and I want to invest right away from the get-go in a good matchup against Detroit. Give me some Carson Palmer, give me some Larry Fitzgerald, and kind of build from there. Because they have I think that they are in for a really solid bounce back this year.
You know, you're preach to the choir, man. I tell you what, I think they start out 3-0. Carson Palmer's got a nice favorable matchup against the Colts in week two, especially if Vontae Davis is still out.
Yeah.
Still a young and unknown secondary with the Dallas Cowboys in week three in a big Monday nighter. I follow the Arizona Cardinals very closely. I love them to go over 8.5 wins this year. And I'll tell you what, last year, last five games, Carson Palmer, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You know why? He stopped practicing on Wednesdays. They told him, stop throwing the football. You got dead arm, man. You know, you're a little older, you got dead arm. And Arian said, listen, why do you stop throwing on Wednesdays? And then he had a little bit of zip. And then they put together a program in the offseason. And you know what the program was? There was no program. Arians told him, Carson, I don't need you to do anything this summer. Stay in shape. Don't throw footballs. He said, please, don't throw 300-500 passes a day like you do every summer. Don't do that. I want your arm to be fresh. Palmer comes in. He nearly broke David Johnson's finger in practice. He's throwing the ball so hard now. You know, you're preaching to the choir here on Arizona. What about Fitzgerald here, 5,900, 8 catches and maybe a touchdown?
Yeah, why not? Why just one touchdown? You know, I think that Larry Fitz benefits the most from the secondary because the Lions have had an issue with their slot cornerback for a while. And they tried to address in the offseason by making some signings in free agency. Didn't quite work out. So that's still a deficiency. We know what Fitz can do when he gets targets, and he should still get targets. And I think the thing that will benefit him too is having John Brown back, because Brown is a guy who can stretch the field. It allows a little bit less coverage to be on Fitzgerald. You've got David Johnson to take eyes away too. I think Fitzgerald is best when there are other options in the offense that allow him to maybe get less coverage, because he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore. If you can get him in lesser coverage against a cornerback who struggles, which is what he gets this week, he can still be a really solid asset for fantasy. So I love Larry Fitz. I'm nervous about the outside wide receivers like Nelson, Brown, and Brown, just because I'm not sure where Darius Slay will be, and I just don't know who will play the most snaps there. But when it comes to Larry Fitz, there is no question for me. I am totally down with him this week.
Man, that's why you're the numbers fire guy, because you're on fire. You're right. It's a great point that you raised. Fitzgerald, the last 2 years, the guy's had more targets and catches than ever. And you're like, how's he doing this? But it's a great point. He's not facing the best or even the second best DBs anymore. Those guys are isolated on the outside. You're right. He's getting, you know, nickel and dime guys, linebackers. It's a great point that you raised. Okay, let's talk about a quarterback that people are going to say, what, really? You're looking at this guy? L.A. Rams and Colts, Jared Goff this week. $4,800 right now over at DraftKings. He's cheaper than some backups are. Like Fitzpatrick is more expensive, I think.
Yeah, and he probably should be, to be fully honest. Based on the way he performed last year, that makes sense. But what I love about this is you look at what they did in the offseason. They brought in Andrew Whitworth to play left tackle. John Sullivan is there for offensive line depth. They spent 3 picks in the first 4 rounds on pass catchers, whether it's Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, guys like that, Josh Reynolds. And then they bring in Sammy Watkins. There are so many new additions to this offense that weren't there when Goff was in his rookie season. And on top of that, they've got Sean McVay now instead of Jeff Fisher. And I don't know what Sean McVay will be as a head coach, but he's probably going to be better than Jeff Fisher. So Jared Goff 2016 is not the same guy we should see in 2017, simply because his surrounding situation is so much better. On top of that, this week they're facing a Colts defense with no Vontae Davis. And last year, when Davis was out, opposing quarterbacks threw 9 touchdowns and 1 interception in the 4 games where Davis played fewer than 50% of the snaps. And that was against Trevor Siemian, who I adore. I mean, foolishly, I love Trevor Siemian, but he's
so
not a super. Yeah, exactly. He's not a superstar, though. But that was against him. It was against Alex Smith and Nick Foles. And I know that Goff, probably not going to be a superstar, even with these additions, but can he be Nick Foles? I would probably say yes. So I'm inclined to, you know, plug in Goff, go way cheap, try to spend up for both Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson if I can, and if I can stack him with Sammy Watkins or Cooper Kupp, you're going to have a lot of flexibility in your salary department.
And I'll tell you what, last year in the preseason, Jared Goff completed 44% of his passes. This year in the preseason, 75% of his passes, 24-32. And as you alluded, listen, Jeff Fisher was once a good coach, but it's like Rex Ryan. The game passed him by. It's a modern spread offense, national, you know, football league that we live in now. And how the hell is Jeff Fisher going to make Jared Goff a better quarterback?
Right.
Some blonde kid from Cal, you know, under the gun. Fisher's ripping the player. Never, it was never Fisher's fault last year, remember? You know, he was kind of a jerk on the way out, Fisher. Now you get McVay in here. A guy that is a quarterback guru. We saw what he did, you know, the passing attack with Kirk Cousins. You see the confidence level with Goff going through the roof already right now. I agree with you. All right, so we got Sammy Watkins, $6,200, a little steep. You know, I'm almost getting tired of hearing about Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's like the ultimate man crush, the fantasy man crush. But I got to tell you, man, he's got a good relationship with Goff already. You know, 10 targets, caught 8 passes, touchdown in the preseason. They say the kid's going to be a PPR machine, and so far it looks like that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I really was not high on Cooper Kupp coming out of the draft because he's 24 years old, which means I think he's like 2 years older than Amari Cooper, which is like insane to me. So like as a prospect, I was never a big Cooper Kupp fan, but he's kind of like what Jared Goff needs. Goff last year, I think it's partially because of the offensive line and the assets that he had, didn't throw the ball deep often. That kind of plays right into the hands of Cooper Kupp. And I think that this could be a situation where he could lean on Kupp early on, try to, you know, ease his way into the offense and then pick things up. And if he does, Kupp could really benefit. And honestly, with Kupp being as cheap as he is, there's not a lot of downside in targeting him. Like you said, you know, you got a ton of targets in the preseason. I think he had 27% of Goff's passes based on Pro Football Focus's numbers. That's great. If they can get anywhere near that in the regular season, Kupp could blow away value. So, again, I'm not a huge fan of the player necessarily in Cooper Kupp from a long-term perspective. But for week one in DFS, with his price where it is, I kind of think he's at least worth taking a shot on.
Yeah, he was targeted 10 times. You're right. So, yeah, and, Goff had 32 pass attempts. In the preseason. It'll be interesting. And also, it's sort of a similar situation when we talk about where the skill position DBs are going to have to be. Not that the Colts have any skill position DBs.
Right.
but, you know, whether you say what you want about Tavon Austin, but the dude's fast.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got Robert Woods in here and you got Sammy Watkins. Cooper Kupp's going to find himself with linebackers on him, right? He's going to find himself in some very, very favorable situations to be able to get open. All right, we only got a couple of minutes here, so quickly on the way out, a guy that I know you're taking a look at, a wide receiver, and I love what I've seen from his quarterback and from the whole team, actually. I think Arizona and Seattle are both going to be, they're both going to be right there fighting for a division, winning like 10, 11 games this year. I'm high on, you know, I know Seattle's offensive line. It's going to be better this year, all right? It's the same guys. They're better. That's what happens. People improve. Pete Carroll knows football. He said, chill out. I got good guys. Just, we had bad circumstances last year with injuries. I'm not saying it's a great O-line, but I'm not overly concerned about it. But I think Doug Baldwin could have a huge day against the Packers.
Yeah, that secondary is just not good, man. The Green Bay secondary, we saw it last year, and they tried to address it, you know, but it just things aren't really working out in Green Bay. When it comes to secondary, they lost some pieces in free agency, too. So I kind of view this Packers secondary as one I want to exploit as often as possible. And Baldwin's not a guy I tend to use on the road. I generally prefer him exclusively at home. But for this week, I'm making an exception just because this matchup is so good. Like you said, that offense looked great in the preseason with Russell Wilson looking like he was kind of rejuvenated back from what happened to him last year.
Hey, Jimmy
he was
Graham
slinging
looked
it
great,
around.
Jim.
He looked good.
Jimmy Graham looked great in the preseason, too.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team looked awesome. And Doug Baldwin, too. I mean, he did Doug Baldwin things. You know, stupid catches on the sideline. It was really fun to watch. So I want to invest in Doug Baldwin right now. I generally think he's an underappreciated guy. And like I said, generally, it's only at home for me for Doug Baldwin. But this week, in this matchup, I want exposure to the Seahawks however I can. And Baldwin, to me, seems to be the best outlet for that.
Jim Saunas, Number Fire, DFS Solo Shot podcast. As you can see, he's one of the smartest guys in the game. Always a pleasure, Jim. Best of luck this week and enjoy the games. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, Gabe. Appreciate it, and you too.
There's Jim Saunas with us. Always love kicking it with Jim. Let's bring Dane Martinez coming up next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decision on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to kickoff, but it's not too late to go over to rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. 10% off. You're going to win your fantasy league. You know, even though you might have already had your draft, you're going to get all the waiver wire expert opinion, the DFS expert opinion from the best in the business. Roto Experts experts are the best in the business. rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Get 10% off. All right, let's bring in a colleague of ours on the Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks. You can watch Lineup Lock on the Fantasy Sports Network and the Dish Network at on the Fantasy Sports Network and Dish Network. Of course, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well at 7 o'clock. Dane Martinez throws it down. We come on right after at 8 o'clock. Man, there's a lot of shows to pimp here, Dane. Dane Martinez joins us. What's up, Dane?
How you doing, Gabe? Good, glad to be on, man.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I hear the last 15 minutes of your show every night. And no offense, but I'm on the way into the studio for the first 45 minutes. But I always enjoy the last 15 minutes of the show before me and Cam come on. And tonight, actually, me and Cam are doing NFL Survivor Night. We're going to spend most of the show talking NFL Survivors. But let's talk some NFL bets right now. Sure. And let's take a look at some of the games you like. And looks like you're looking to walk the dog this week. You're going to take the dogs for a walk on Sunday morning. The Atlanta Falcons and the Chicago Bears. Who do you got, Dane?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the situations, Gabe. You're absolutely right. I like a lot of these underdogs in week one. Teams are going off their rep from back in the day, from last season. I think the Atlanta Falcons are primed to have a little bit of regression. No Kyle Shanahan there helping out Matt Ryan. I also think this Atlanta Falcons offense is much different going outside. And I think the key here, Gabe, is you got that number of +7. That is a key number, as you know, with a full touchdown. If this was 5.5 or 6, I might think it would be okay to lay the points, but I like at home. I like the Bears. Mike Glennon trying to hold off the kid. I think they're going to ride Jordan Howard. I like them to keep it just close enough within a touchdown. Give me the Bears at home with the points.
Money started to come in on the on the Bears a little bit. It's down to 6.5 at some spots. You're going to like this, though, Dane. If you like the Bears plus the points, me and Mark Lawrence talked about this earlier. Super Bowl losers. In week one, following losing the Super Bowl, if they're playing on the road, the last 17 times it's happened, they've only won the game twice, actually. They're 2-15 straight up if you open up the season on the road. And it's funny, remember last year, Carolina opened up the season on the road against Denver, and they lost the game straight up as well. And here's another one for you guys if you're thinking about the Bears plus the points. Since 1984, the Bears have only lost one home opener by more than 7 points three times. So only three times since 1984 they lost a home opener by more than 7 points. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears hang, but I do think the Falcons win. All right, this one, you're on your own here, Dane. You're on your own. Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland Browns. You're willing to walk the dog and go into the dog pound.
Absolutely, absolutely. Once again, I'm going to be taking the Cleveland Browns with over a touchdown at home all season long. I think this kid Kaiser is going to be decent in his rookie year. But the key really, it's a divisional matchup, and the Steelers didn't really blow these guys out even last year. And again, the Steelers' offense is much different away from Heinz Field. I think Cleveland does what they have to do to keep it just close enough. New offensive line in Cleveland, which is maybe one of the top 5 offensive lines. I think they're going to try to hold on to the ball, time of possession, a lower scoring game than you think. I think Cleveland can keep it within 9 points like you have on the graphic up there right now, riding Isaiah Crowell behind this offensive line and making the job simple early on for DeShone Kizer.
I'm a DeShone Kizer fan. I think the kid's got a ton of upside, but I don't think he's ready to play yet. I think they're force feeding him. I think this is such a Cleveland thing to do. You brought Osweiler in, let Osweiler be the tackling dummy, get Kizer in there after 3-4 weeks. I prefer the Bears model here and let Glennon go out there first before forcing Trubisky out there.
Kessler could have been that for them too, to be honest.
Get this. How about this, though? DeShone Kizer, Dane. He's the 27th starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns since 1999.
Oh, God.
27.
Oh,
since
goodness.
1999. 27. That's 27.
Ridiculous. That's pretty bad. Yeah. That's pretty
bad.
Ben
Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, 20-2 straight up against the Browns, but you're taking him on the points. You like this stat. Steelers, 1-7 against the spread, last 8 road openers if they're playing against a division opponent. This is a tricky one. I agree with everything you said as far as lower scoring. Pittsburgh's not going to look to run the score up here. Ben Roethlisberger's one hit away from retirement, all right? They're going to hand the football off, get him out of there, and get into week 2. So I could see it being a lower scoring game, but I just don't have the same balls you do here, Dane, to do this. But this next one, I'm in agreement, and it seems like you and I are in a minority in this one. Carolina Panthers are laying 5.5 points to the San Francisco 49ers. I've been talking about this stat all week. Somehow the 49ers have won 6 straight season openers, franchise record. Montana and Young couldn't do it, but these stiffs have done it over the last couple of years. I love the young defensive talent that the Niners have. It's week 1. Are the Niners going to be a great team this year? No, but it's week 1. I'm looking at this game. I think the total's too high at 48. I think it's going to be a smash-mouth, low-scoring football game. Give me the points with the Niners.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Gabe. Listen, the last couple of years, the Niners have not been a good team, but in week 1, they have hosted an East Coast team coming out west. It's usually been on Monday Night Football, but I like it just the same with the Niners this week. And listen, Kyle Shanahan may be able to scheme some things up. Brian Hoyer is actually a decent quarterback, especially in the first half of the season. Then it plummets as soon as the calendar hits November. And with this Carolina offense, I actually am very intrigued with what I could see, how they deploy guys like Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel. But I think it might take some time for Cam to understand how to get the ball out quick and really get assimilated into what they are trying to do with him to protect him. Also, you know, Carlos Hyde is an injury risk, but he's healthy. Get him while you still can. I love this spot. I think the Panthers are going to contend for the NFC South title, but I hate them in this spot having to travel to the Bay in week 1. The Niners might go 2-14, but this is going to be one of their good weeks.
All right, so check out the lineup lock at 6 o'clock with Dane and the Tony Cincata, probably the coolest dude on the Fantasy Sports Network, Tony Cincata. And then Fantasy Freestyle at 7 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Red Heat and Rage Radio at 8 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got your back covered tonight. Great stuff, Dane. Enjoy the games. May the winners be yours.
Thanks a lot, Gabe. Thanks for having me.
There's Dane Martinez with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our plays of the day. And it's baseball, but football tomorrow.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Time for our plays of the day. And unfortunately, there's no football on the board tomorrow, tonight, but there is tomorrow. Baseball. We did all right with the baseball last night, actually, though. All right, we got the Yankees and the Orioles. Gossman's been red hot right now, man, and the Orioles have been hot. The Orioles are in this thing. I'm going to take the Orioles tonight, minus 120. You know, we've kind of missed some of the ride with the Cleveland Indians. The Indians have always screwed me over the years, so I've always been hesitant, but these guys are on fire right now. They've won 13 consecutive baseball games, and they've actually covered the run line in 11 of the 13 games. We gave you the run line last night. We're going to go back to the well with the Tribe again tonight, minus 155. And this is a dangerous one, man, because the D-backs are also on a freaking tear. They've won, what, 13 in a row as well? But the Los Angeles Dodgers slide ends tonight. We're going to lay the 75 cents. I know you're going to say to yourself, you can't lay 75 cents against a team with the D-backs. The number is what it is for a reason. They know the Dodgers are going to win, and they will win. May the winners be yours.